have those up there. And as we wait for 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, I've got some stuff for the kids. I've got some coloring sheets and activity stuff, if anyone wants to do that. But we have a problem, and that is that in all that Thanksgiving we did, we didn't hear from any of the younger people at all. So I think before we do that, we've got to hear from at least one younger person. Just anything, even one word, just something that you're grateful to God for. It's too bad we don't have Big Mouth Bill, my son. He'd give us something. I'm not talking about Bill Stubberfield. I'm talking about my boy. One of you guys, Helena. Nothing you're thankful for at all? Tegan? What was that? You're thankful for you. I think that's great, isn't it? I thank you, Lord, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Does that sound familiar at all? Okay, that's fantastic. All right, guys, why don't you come and get your activity stuff if you want it. I'm thankful for you too, Tegan, and for every one of you guys. Excellent. All right, so we're going to look very briefly at a couple of verses from 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, I'd like to ask you to take the time sometime during this week to read the rest of 1 Peter. It's not very long. It's only 5 chapters. And see how these couple of verses fit into the rest of the letter. But for now, we're just going to look at these two, verses 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So, as we're showing thanks and appreciation, in particular, we're going to be thanking God for an awful lot of the work that's done in the church for you people yourselves and how you're serving God as faithful stewards of his grace. It's not possible to thank you without also thanking God for you at the same time. Any good thing that any one of us does is really at the bottom of it going to be an outworking of God's own grace working in us. And I think that's very clear in this passage as well as in several others in Scripture. But see how it unfolds in verse 10. And we haven't got it up there, but that's okay. We do have it now. Excellent. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So we're all pretty excited about gifts from God. That's a nice concept. The very creator of the universe has given me gifts. But any gift that we receive is always meant for the benefit of other people. That's what Peter says here. You should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. You will remember that Paul says the same in 1 Corinthians 12. Now to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So, each one of you is who you are and exactly how you are because God wants to be good to his people through you. And some of you don't believe it. But it's true. You're here because you are a good gift to God's people, which he's given us. God wants to be good to his people through you in some way, and so each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So, I think it's safe to say that we're all thankful for God's grace. That would be fair to say, wouldn't it? Well, that's good. But if you are thankful for God's grace, then let's be thankful for all of God's grace. Every last bit of it. Every little bit of God's grace that he shows through all of our brothers and sisters. As we serve each other, we are stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So every little thing and every big thing that you do is a precious piece of God's grace to his people. And he says God's grace in its various forms. So, of course, we don't all serve God and each other in exactly the same ways. You'll remember how Paul explains that in 1 Corinthians. We're all one body, but we're made up of many different members. Some are ears, some are eyes, some are feet, some are hands, some are various other types of body parts that Paul doesn't mention by name, apparently. So we all have different functions. If we all served in exactly the same ways, if we all had the same gifts, if there were any gift that everyone had, it would be ridiculous. Paul says, God is more sensible than to make a body that is nothing but ear. Well, Peter makes the same point here in this passage, that God's grace comes in various forms. And Peter divides all the various forms of God's grace into two basic categories: speaking and serving. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So some of us build up, the rest of us, with words. So that could be teaching, encouragement, singing, leading, Bible studies, prayer itself, comforting people, whatever it is. While others of us manifest God's grace in other kinds of service. We, for example, run the sound desk. Maybe we make morning tea, or we serve on the security roster, or we do some gardening, or during the week we help someone go shopping or change a light globe in their house or something they need help with. And if you so much as change a light globe for someone, I mean, that, for most of us, you don't even think about. But if someone's not able to do that, and you go out of your way to help them do that, even a task as simple as changing a light globe is a holy work. It is a manifestation of God's almighty grace among his people. You're a steward of God's grace. And we can't thank God without thanking you. And we can't thank you without thanking God. It's all of a piece. But there's a part of this verse here, and I want to pause on it for a moment because it's easily misunderstood and it's been abused. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. As fun as it sounds to me to be able to claim infallibility for my words up here, as I'm speaking the very words of God, touch not God's anointed and all this jazz, and thus says the Lord, and you're not allowed to disagree with me because I'm the anointed one of God. This verse is not saying anything remotely like that. By the way, any preacher who says something like that, you stop listening to him. Please. If you're curious why I've said that, come along tonight and we'll talk about it. Give me a call. I think anyone that arrogates for himself that kind of divine level of authority, that's a red flag for me. Anyhow, what is it saying then? If it's not saying, if the very words of God doesn't mean that a preacher, for example, is infallible. Well, if you'll notice in the verse, the very words of God is parallel with the strength God provides. So when you speak the very words of God, and when you serve, it's with the strength of God. So I don't think that preachers are infallible any more than other kinds of Christians are omnipotent. No one's claiming that for themselves, are they? It's easy for me to claim that my words are God's words, and you're not allowed to disagree with me because it's a little harder to prove than my saying I'm omnipotent. This doesn't mean that people who speak in the church have all of God's authority any more than serving in God's strength means having all God's power and might. But what does it mean? I think that what Peter is doing here is unfolding more of that idea of being stewards of God's grace, caretakers or managers of good things from God which he has given for his people. So, because when you speak on behalf of God, you had better take that job very, very seriously. Nothing worse than flippancy when it comes to leading a Bible study or preaching. Our singing, as an example of another speaking ministry, it needs to be as good as it can be. It needs to be passionate and all the rest of it, but it also needs to be biblically sound words in those songs. Any speaking ministry, if you're comforting someone over a cup of tea, you've got to be careful always to stay faithful to the Bible and God's revealed truth. Because anytime you're speaking with a brother or sister in Christ and showing them God's grace in that way, you are mediating the words of God to that person, God's truth. So I think it highlights our responsibility as stewards anytime we engage in a speaking ministry. Does that make sense? And I would say the same then. I would say the same about other types of service, that they are serious responsibilities too. If you are cooking for others, you want to cook the best that you can. If you're building something for someone because you love them in the Lord, then make it the best thing that you have ever built. Serve with the strength God provides. So I think this kind of language, when Peter uses it, highlights our responsibility as stewards of God's grace. But there's another side to the same coin. And I think that is that this type of language also tells us ultimately who to be thankful to. If you hear words that are very encouraging and have blessed you, by all means, thank the person who spoke them. But remember, too, that it's God's words speaking through that person. And be thankful to God. My job right now, this moment, is not to be a super great speaker. Not primarily. My main job right now is to get out of the way. Is to let these words speak as much as possible. Any good that comes from any work always ultimately comes from God. And the same goes with all the ways that everyone here serves in the church. At the bottom of every ministry of any kind, even changing a light globe, is strength God provides, or words that God spoke, or some grace of God that's given through one of you to the rest of his people. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Here's the big question: why? So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. This is the same God who gives us gifts to serve each other. That's the same God who's called us to be brothers and sisters in his own family. The same God that has done that through Jesus Christ. That same Jesus Christ who gave up his life for us and died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins. That same Jesus raised to life again, now offering to share eternal life with us as members of God's household through God's forgiveness and grace and love. That same Jesus who welcomes us into the family of God, pours out his Holy Spirit on us, and that same Jesus gave us you, each one of you. So thank God for each and every one of you. Why do we serve each other well and thank God for each other? It's all for the glory of God and his Son and his kingdom. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now in a moment, we're going to hear about some of the ministries in the church and things we can be thankful for. But first, I think let's sing together, Count Your Blessings. And we've already done some of that this morning, and we're going to do some more. We're going to count our blessings.